I don't feel what anybody can do to me now. Not what he can do. He can only bless me and see me on the righteous way of Yahweh. Hallelujah. He said, but those that receive, now those that receive seed into the good ground. Is he that heareth the word and say he understands it, which also bear fruit, bringing forth 40, some 100 fold, and some 60 and some 30. When a man hears the word and he understands it. Well, how does he understand that? Because understanding is the wellspring of life. And the more he understands it, the more he falls in love with it. When a young man calls himself falling in love with a young woman, they tend to associate themselves with becoming knowledgeable of one another, so it tends to enhance what we call love. And the more you find out about her or him, traits and ways, you admire them. Oh, I like the way you do that. That makes me smile. Oh, I love you, the way you talk, or the way you respond to things. I love you. And so as he began to understand her in a greater dynamics, that his heart and his affection for me tends to increase, and vice versa, it ought to. And so as we began to understand our Father in a greater dynamics, then our heart for him begins to love him with a greater fervor of love. And the only way we're going to get to that, we must understand what he commands us to do and what he wants us to do. Now, if we don't understand that, then there will be no love affair or no affection for him. And when there is no affection for him, we become very unfruitful. There's no joy, no meekness, no kindness, no love, no long-suffering, no temperance, no patience. So you ask yourself, where am I in the midst of this? Where am I when it comes to fruitfulness? It's nothing like going out to the orchard out here, or to the scuffernox, the scuffadine. I love eating them straight off the vines. I don't like them when they're picked and set in the refrigerator. I like them straight off the vine. That's what Messiah likes too. When he comes, he wants them right off the vine. He wants the fruit straight off the vine. He doesn't want anything that's all rotten. He's coming for an abundance of fruit. And there's no fruit in this generation. And the reason why, because there's no love for Yahweh. You must tend the vines. And the process began this time of the year. What process? Well, when the leaves began to fall off, you must begin to prune. When you began to prune, there's a carefulness, but there is no carefulness there. You will pull, you will cut, and it looks as though there is nothing there. Because of the proper care, for the due season of replenishing come, then you have an abundant fruit. You have an abundant fruit. Well, why do you think that the old leaves fall off the trees? What makes the old leaves fall off the trees? You know what makes that? I'll tell you what makes it fall off. It's a simple process. When the leaves die, they fall off the trees. Well, they fall off because the new bud of the new leaves began to come forth. And so there is no room for the new and the old. And so the old leaves or the dead leaves begin to fall off. And this dead stuff in our lives, when the newness of his power begin to come in, it ought to fall off. We are a new creature. Behold, old things have passed away. We are a new creature in Messiah. Then our old attitudes ought to fall. Our old ways. And our old perception, our concepts of his truth are to fall. That's how that happens. And so when this newness of power in this life began to fill our hearts, then the old habits and old things, they began to fall off. We began to lose those old things. And because we're not losing those things, because there's no newness of his power of life in us. I'd rather have Messiah than anything. Silver, gold, the earth. What will it profit a man if he gains the whole world today? And he loses his soul. What is Mr. Arafat? They say he had between $300 million and $8 billion. What good is it? Tell me. He's a dead thing that they're trying to keep alive. And that is the state of what we call Christendom, or what we call the church. It's a dead thing that is trying to get life or resuscitated by the cares of this life, the things of the world, and it doesn't bring about any resuscitation at all. It doesn't bring about any joy. It doesn't bring any fruit or any power fruit at all. Say what you will. Say what you may. But it certainly doesn't bring about those things. No whatsoever. And until we began to have a love affair that we enthralled with Him and were enraptured in His Word, we will never yield forth the power and the dynamics of its fruit. No whatsoever. You can talk a good game, but it means nothing. You can talk with your mouth, but without the power of that, it means nothing. That's just like a bully. Can I knock you out? I'm tougher than you. And of course, you're frightened. Your heart began to beat hard. Boom, 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 boom. And all of a sudden, you say, I'm going to try. I may lose, but that's all right. If I lose, I'm going to establish something. And then you test the bully. I recall as a young lad that there were those that were tough and they were big. I never forget old Charlie Jackson. One day at Double Oak Swimming Pool, he was a bully. He ramshot everyone. He overrode everyone. He was a big dude on the block. It was one Saturday morning. And for that reason, I don't know, it was kind of chilly like it is outside. He called himself going to ramshot me that day. I said, no, I've had enough of it. That's it. I'm not going to allow him to do it no more. And so he confronted me, and the first thing I did after the second confrontation, I took my hand, and I tried to take his fat head off. And the first punch I threw, it energized me to whip the fire out of him and to cause him to go home and to run home. I said, no, you've done that enough. No more of that. None whatsoever. Ever. That's the state of Yahweh's people. That's our mindset. This thing is real. It's not some kind of fictitious false thing. This is the real reality. This is above any reality that you think you can imagine. If we only loved Him like we love ourselves. And love those things that have no power to even love. Cars and homes and land have no power to love. That's not even love there. That's not love. Things. Sons and daughters, they have no power, no will to love. Daddies and mamas and cousins and kinfolks, they have no power to love. Nah, they don't know how to love. I don't care whether you love me or not. It's the truth. I want to emphasize this for a few moments here on this persecution. I know what Scripture says. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to read what says what Messiah says in Mark. Mark chapter 4, verse 17. Same revelation or the same mystery revealed unto us. But he used this here in Mark 4:17. He says this. He says, and he's talking about those, the seed that fell on stony ground. He said, they have no root in themselves. Now, he still deals with themselves or himself. Have no root in themselves. And so they endure, but for how long? Just a little time. Just a little dispensation of time. That's what folks, they endure for a little time. They endure. And what is that? Well, they don't murmur much, but they murmur. They endure just for a little while. Afterwards, when the smallness or when affliction, and that is the trial, many or few are the affliction of the righteous. He said what he meant. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. But only Yahweh can deliver them out of them all. So many are the afflictions. So when a little affliction or persecution arise for what? The word say, immediately they are offended. And so when there's any kind of persecution, well, I don't believe that God says that. I don't believe that God intended that. I don't believe that God, that's how they talk. And so there's a persecution, there's an affliction there, there's an attack. And we are offended. We say, well, they could be right. No, they're wrong. Because Yahweh will not give His power unto a child of hell to instruct His house or His people in the righteous principles and the laws of Yahweh. No whatsoever. Not one bit. He has never done that. Well, He can use anyone. No, He just uses those that He chooses. That's what He does. That's what He does. He uses those that He chooses to use. And He uses those that He called and He chooses to call. That's what He does. So just anything that offends them, just because of the sake of the word, because the word says one thing, and we're offended at what the word says, so we get upset with Yahweh. We can't be offended with Him. Does he mean that he means everything what he says? Is he a liar? I ask yourself that in your own mind. Is Yahweh a liar? Then how much of his word is true or pure? How much? Every word of Yahweh is pure. And only his servants love it. So those that love him will love his word. What's going to cause affliction in your lives and pain? He knows what it's going to cause. He intends for it to cause that. Can you understand the pain that was born in that body of Messiah for all of our iniquities? Do you ever comprehend that? Do you ever think on it? Is that a thing that crosses our minds? Unless we hear someone mention it or there's a thought of it. But it's not something that is a constant agony or a thought in our minds and our spirits. We may say something, say it's so now because we want to look good, but that's not so. It's not so. We don't think on those things. We think on natural and carnal things. You see, that's the strength of any man, his power and his ability to identify his flaws and his weaknesses, then he will come up to the measure and the fullness of the stature of Almighty Yahweh. Because he knows it's not by my might or by my power, but it's by the law of the Spirit of Almighty Yahweh. He knows that. So it gives no credence or no power to his flesh at all. None. So this is the generation that is offended by the word today. It is very much offended. It's offended. The small affliction, well, that my heart is hurt because I let your heart be hurt. Can you imagine the pain that was put on Messiah? Not only was his heart hurt, not only was the heart of the Father hurt, Yahweh's heart was so hurt when he saw that he literally turned his back and the earth was consumed with darkness. In the midst of the daytime, darkness filled the earth. And yet it pleased the Father to bruise him. It pleased him for that to take place. To show you that he will stand by his word. I stand by it. Through that, he stood by it. I thank him for that. So I won't be offended. This is a generation that is very much easily offended. Shaul says in Romans chapter 8 verse 36. He says, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, accounted as sheep for the slaughter. But that's the people of Yahweh. For his sake they are killed all the day long. And they are counted for sheep for the slaughter. They are killed all the day long. We that are the sheep of Yahweh, we are killed all the day long. And that's part of that persecution. That's part of that affliction. Your daddies would kill you. Your mothers would kill you. Your grandmamas would kill you. Your sons, your daughters. What opposition I received when I began to, Yahweh began to open up simple truths unto me. And a love for him. I received it from everyone. Mother, brothers, sister, all of them. There was a smirk and a rejection. Well, if you love someone, you would do this. If you say you got the love of God in you, you would do that. Now, that's the way they would confront me. I'll never forget that day that Yahweh says, I'm going to break the power of any spirit that they have over you. And he broke it. I told them, fools, you will go to hell in your sins. And I don't take it back either. When hell they shall lift up their eyes. He is. They will lift up their eyes because they have forsaken the Holy One of Israel. They rejected him. I don't care if it's your daddy, your mama, your brother, your sister. They reject his love. Your daughter, they go to hell. And that's the truth. If any man loves mama, daddy, brother, says more than they love Messiah, you cannot be his disciple. And if you love him, you do what he says. That's what you do. You can't love aunt, uncle, no one more than you love him. He said, if you love me, then do what I say. And that's how you show you love him. When you don't do what he says, you're a liar. I don't care what you say, how are you, whatever you say, you don't love him. And so that's why he constantly keeps us in check. How? By scripture and truth. I bless him for that too. Hallelujah. Scripture says this. I want to read this. Hallelujah. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 8. The great trial of Shaul as he was tried, buffeted of hell. And Yahweh had sent the messenger, a messenger from darkness. had came to buffet him or to try his integrity or his love for truth. Jehu said, for this thing I besought Yahweh thrice, that it might depart from me now. That's what he said. And he said unto me, my love is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in your weakness. He said, most gladly, Shaul said, therefore, will I rather take great joy or pleasure in my infirmities, that the power of Messiah may rest upon us. Now that is what Yahweh wants us to do. That we began to take joy and take comfort in our infirmities and our trials, that the power of Almighty Yahweh may rest upon you through Messiah. We don't take joy in that, do we? Hallelujah. We don't want any kind of infirmities. We don't want our flesh to be offset. We don't want any trial of our flesh, do we? We don't want that. And we can deceive ourselves and say we love those things, but we don't. So he said, I take great delight in these things, because I want the power of Yahweh to be revealed in me. For him I live and for him I die. Who do you live for? Who are we living for? For me to live is Messiah. For me to die is the gain of the kingdom. Who are we living for? What are we living for? What is the purpose of our lives? There's only one purpose. Messiah, his little 33 years was spent doing the will of the Father. And as the scripture says, as he grew, he increased in wisdom and understanding. As he grew. And as you grow, you ought to increase. Something is wrong if you're not increasing. You watch a tree out here, those grapevines, every year they're getting stronger. The rootstock gets thicker. The grapes are more plentiful. They began to establish their own true taste every year. First year, very few. They not even give you any grapes to enjoy. Second year got a little better. Third year it was coming. And now they're reaching the pinnacle. They're reaching the fullness of their ability to yield. And so as we grow in this wisdom and an understanding of Almighty Yahweh, there should be an increase of strength and power. We are a very weak generation. We are very weak people. There's no power to resist hell. There's no power to withstand it. And there's no power of prayer to refute every power of darkness. I don't care what men are saying. We got power, we do that. They have no power. Nothing. The only thing that keeps his people in this hour is the power of his truth. And he has ordained men to speak that. And to give us a clear word from the word. A clear word from the word. Not by some sermonized rituals carried out by some books of intellectual learnings. It's brought forth by the Spirit. The unction. And that's what we need in this hour. And you better pray for those. You better pray for those that Yahweh has blessed us to have men of wisdom and understanding. Elders that rule. And that rule well. And that's the truth. For now is coming, there's going to be a great dearth in the earth and a famine. There's going to be that, where can we hear a word of the saving power and the pure love of Yahweh? Everything today is such a hot podge of trash. The most filthiest and vilest of people can enjoy it and say they had a good time in service. No, I don't want you to have a good time. I want you to have a time that cause your heart to love him greater. When I went to the clubs, I called myself having a good time. There were times of misery. They were not good times. They were not times of fulfillment. They were times of darkness and death. Nothing from those experiences garnered any fruit, any hope in my life. And the same thing for you as well. No difference. Shaul says in verse 10 of the same chapter, he said, therefore I take, what is that word he says?
Pleasure.
Everyone says that. What does it say?
Pleasure.
Everybody say that. What does it say?
Pleasure.
Take pleasure in my good time.
Infirmity.
He said, take pleasure in infirmities. You take pleasures in infirmities? Thank you, brother. He said, take pleasure. You know what pleasure is? It's a great delight. The heart is warm and there's a great comfort there. Well, that was for Shaul. No, that's for you too. He said, take pleasures. We tend to murmur in infirmities. Get angry, don't we? As old preacher would say, come on here, somebody. He said, I take pleasures in infirmities and reproaches, the mocking, the ridiculing for the name's sake of Yahweh. Do we truly take pleasure in that? Answer your own hearts. You can deceive yourself. Scripture says, take heed that no man. And he's talking about the hidden man of your heart deceive you. He said, take pleasure in necessities. We get angry when our necessities are not fulfilled. He said, take pleasure in necessities. In what? Persecution. In distress. What is distress? It is the ability that one is vexed or there is a tremendous stress upon that one, that the only thing that gives them strength to endure that is the knowledge of Yahweh's truth. It is an uncontrollable emotion. He said, even in the midst of distress, without any assurance, I have assurance. He said, in distress for what? For Messiah, for Yahshua's sake. If you're having persecution for any other sake, then it's not of your way. For the sake of Messiah, he said, for when I am what? Weak, then I'm what? I believe what Scripture says. I believe what Scripture says. You take those brothers when they go out, cut down a heavy log. Of course, they've loaded some wood on the truck, and all of a sudden they feel drained and weak. And then there's one last piece, and it's the heaviest piece because you leave that for last. You don't want to put that on first. You want to kind of get that. You get all the other little stuff, and that last piece is heavy, cumbersome, tough to grab hold. And so what it takes a unified effort. Everyone grabbing hold and laying hold. And when you lay hold of that, you go ahead, and it's one unison and one motion. They lay hold, and they jack that thing up, even in the midst of their weakness. All of a sudden, there's a muster of strength that comes. Now, what you're always saying, if you begin to take pleasure in those things, when you are weak, you will be made strong. And the reason we are not made strong, because we don't take pleasure in the things that Yahweh commands us to take pleasure in. We take pleasure in every kind of vile, wicked thing there is, every vile, wicked occasion, and not the things of Yahweh. At your most weakest point, there's a strength and a power that will fill your heart. Cause you to rejoice with a great attitude. We don't have that today. We truly don't. You know, there's a different depth that I want to go into this because there's some other scriptures I wanted to read. But I want to close here from 2 Thessalonians. I'll give you a little something tonight to wet your whiskers. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. I want to read a few verses here. Give you a little something to cause you to go to the scriptures. It says in verse 1, it says, Shaul and Sophanias and Timotheus, unto the assembly of Thessalonica, in Yahweh, our Father, and Yahshua Messiah. He said, love or the love of Yahweh unto you, and peace, or shalom, from Yahweh, our Father, and Yahshua Messiah. How can this wicked generation, this corrupt, vile generation, deny the power of the Father and His mighty name? And the Son did not come in any name but the Father's name to assure us of the hope and the salvation of the Father. And the name is not Jesus. It's not Jesus. It's a lie. Just like the word East in Texas is a lie. And there are other things. It's not of Yahweh. And I say that and I don't take a back seat. I don't back down. And this is what he says. Now he said we are bound. Do you understand what bound is? Have you been bound before? We are under lockdown is what he said. He said we are bound to thank who? No, if you have a KJV, what it says? We're bound to thank God. He is not God, I'm telling you. As I did even research today on that word God today and ghost. And the language that these words came out of. Even the word ghost come out, it came out of the Sanskrit language. It was an elite language of the Hinduism. Indian Hinduism. And Hinduism has 300 million gods. And so the word ghost is not, it is not a pure administration of the Spirit of Yahweh. We've been taught that in our religious Pentecostalism, in our Protestantism, but it's wrong. When something is wrong, you just don't use it. Yahweh will not use a corrupt idiom like that that is associated with every pagan power of hell. And what man has done, he has gone to languages and searched out idioms that associate with some kind of divine nature, and they associate that with Yahweh. That's wrong. That's why he spoke to a people in a Hebraic language that was not cluttered with these idioms and these wicked things, or these identities of idolatry. That's why he did that. And the language was pure. That's just it. Every word meant just what it meant. The word love, it had a connotation unto Yahweh as it did when you love this or that. Love, as far as matter is concerned, there's so many definitions for love. Tell me which one is right. He said, we are bound to thank Yahweh always for you, brethren, and as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the love of every one of you all toward each other bound. Now, that's a profound statement. Your faith groweth exceedingly, and when one's faith do not grow exceedingly, then that love toward each other is not going to bound. When you don't have faith, you have no power to love. And so that's why we use that expression, I love you. Well, Shaul said, I know you because your faith has grown so exponentially, I can see you love each other. Can I ask you all a question? Say, how can we as saints, we can sit amongst the wicked and rejoice and flatter, and they flatter us with words and conversation, and amongst the saints we have no ability to do that. Is that the spirit of Yahweh? I was thinking about the little girls as they were, and the young boys too. Yesterday, as I listened to them play throw ball, I said, what a remarkable thing. If they could only understand the foolishness of that, and when they come before the presence of Yahweh to give him some honor and to love him, you could hear them hollering, running up and down those stairs. And yet when it comes to the pure things of Yahweh, their mouths are sealed, their hearts. There's a wickedness there. I'm not afraid to say it. You haven't taught them. You haven't taught them how to praise him. Mothers ought to teach their daughters. Fathers ought to teach their sons. And you don't get upset with me all you want to. It makes no difference. It is right too. You teach them those things. The world teaches their children. They take them to baseball games and football games. They start them off like that. Playing baseball and football. And they act foolish. They teach them folly. They show them how to act foolish. You tell me that people of Yahweh don't instruct their children and teach them as a little seed how to sit quiet before Yahweh, not play and all that foolishness? You tell me mothers should not teach their daughters and show them what things ought to be done? You tell me your mothers here ought not to do that? What is a mother? You know, I was reading, listening the other day that the thing that is taking place in colleges today, these young girls are selling their eggs by the thousands. And they're finding these surrogate mothers, these men that their wives cannot produce babies. And they're selling their eggs, and it's a little coffer for them. It's producing, it's a multi-million dollar business today. And I sat there and I listened and I said, now who is the mother? Now the girl sells her egg. And so it takes my semen and takes for the egg in Sister Roberts, and Sister Roberts become a surrogate. Now who is the mother? It's not her egg. But who is the mother? And we know what Scripture says. We will honor what Scripture says. Well, who is the mother of the child? And yet they're doing that today, saints. Scripture tells us who our mother is. Tells us who our brother is. Those that hear the word of Yahweh and do his word. They're not brothers and sisters. It's either he told a flat out lie, he told the truth. That's just it. And you can't change that for no one. I can't. He says here in verse 4, he said, so we ourselves take great delight in you in the assembly of Yahweh for your patience and faith in all your persecution now and tribulation that you endure. Do we endure persecution and tribulation? Shaul said, we take delight. We become rabid when there's a little trial, a persecution. We become very rabid in our approaches. But he said, we take great joy because our hearts filled with a great delight You think that we're going to have to endure something any different than what these saints did? We're fools. He said, what you all are going through, I don't know about this, Father. He said, now what you're going through, that is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of Yahweh, that ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of Yahweh for which ye suffer. Now, do we suffer for the kingdom? Do we suffer for the kingdom? You must suffer for the kingdom. And these are manifest tokens. What is a token? Just a little coin. You know, if you go to the train station, you have to have a little token to get on the train. They don't use money. You buy a token. You buy the token out here, then you use a token to get on the train. That's what you use, a token. He says, so these are just manifest tokens of the righteous judgment of Yahweh. This is what Yahweh calls for you to endure and for you to encounter these things. For this is for the kingdom's sake. Persecution. So we're going to be persecuted for the word. And then that persecution, we ought to take great delight and rejoice in that. And count it a pleasure, but we don't do that. He says, and to you who are troubled, rest with us. When Messiah shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty Melechim, inflamed fire, taking vengeance on them that know not Yahweh. Now he's going to take vengeance on everyone that know not Yahweh. Sons, daughters, grandmothers, makes no difference. And they that what? Obey not the message of our master, of our savior, Yahshua Messiah. So he said, if you love me, then you do what I say. So if Messiah spoke words unto us and we don't do what he says, then we don't obey him. That's the truth. He's going to take vengeance on them. Now that's what scripture says. You got a problem, you take it up with the Father. He said, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of Yahweh and from the power of, from the honor of his power? He shall come to be honored in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Wherefore also we pray always for you that our Father would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of Yahshua Messiah may be honored in you and you in him, according to the love of our Father and our Redeemer, our hope, Yahshua Messiah. We take pleasure in these trials and persecutions, for it is a manifestation of the token, or the small token, of the great reward of the kingdom. And so there are afflictions and persecutions we must endure. Now, because there's no depth in you, you can't endure that. You're not going to endure it. If you have no depth of the word in you, you're not going to do it. There's no pure love for the truth in your heart, you're not going to do it. And that's the truth, saints. We must obey everything he says. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. Every word, saint. We must live by every word that proceed out of the mouth of Yahweh. If it's in this book, then it ought to have proceeded out of his mouth. If it did not come out of his mouth, it's a flat out lie. Throw it away. Just do what you want to do. Just leave it alone. That's what I would do. And that's the truth. I will not go to hell in a Volkswagen. If I'm going, I'm going. I'm not going as what they call a carnal Christian. What in the world do they get that trash from? I'm going as just a flat out sinner. And I'm going to sin. For what few days I got left, I might as well sin. Now, for what few days I got left, if I'm going to see the kingdom, I want to do with all gusto and all delight to please the Father and to bless him. Now, this is just a foundational step in what things I wanted to share tonight. There are other things, but I want to stop here. I'm going to stop here for tonight. May he bless you, give you strength. And I hope that these words are strength. Hope they fill your heart with understanding. And this hour, we need understanding. We need men to teach us the understandings of Almighty Yahweh. We need that, saints. We need that. And I will not shun any man that teach me and show me and bring understanding to my heart of what Yahweh intends for me to do. For we must do what he commands us to do. We cannot be partial. We cannot have a partial attitude toward him. Our attitude toward him must be wholesome and sincere and real. Cannot be partial. We cannot. He shows us what kind of attitude to have toward him. And he tells us what to do. That's a loving father. He tells us everything to do to please him. That's a loving father. That's a father. That's a father. That's a father. And so when we don't do what he says, then woe unto us. Hallelujah. We have faith, there's no love abounding toward the saints. You know something? Because as I said that day, I thought about someone like Brother Yosef back there. Now, unless I love him as a brother and be his brother, he has no one here in the natural sense to care for him. I think about Brother Allen. If he's not my brother, I have no brothers. He has no one. And if there's no love toward him, me no have no love toward him, then what does he? What is it? I think about Sister Cameron. She has no one. Brother Jeff, he got Sister Debs. Sister Denise got her children. Sister Rivana got a sister, brother-in-law. Come on, Brother Nisha's got children. Brother Jermaine got a wife. Brother Dave, come on, he got grandchildren. He got two daughter-in-law, a daughter-in-law, son-in-law, a son and a daughter. Deacon Benny got a daughter-in-law. Brother Sean, Lee's got Sister Stacy, got a child. But what about Brother Yosef? Brother Allen? What about Sister Karen here? Brother James got Sister Teresa. Sister Horn, she got grandchildren. Come on, all of them young. 10 out there on the picture. Rodolfo got a grandmama, got aunts. What about him? What about him? What about her? They have no one. Unless we're truly saints. And so it goes beyond some kind of ethical or ethnicity or skin texture. It goes beyond that. It's just love. Who is my true brother? Is Yosef my brother that abides with me in labor for the things of Yahweh? Or the ones there in Charlotte? That's my brother. That's my kinsman. That's who it is. Period. No one else. That's my brother. That's my sister. May not talk to her, but still my sister. Come on, that's my brother back there. And Yahweh means what he says. I want to read this before I close. It's either the truth or it's not the truth. I want to read a few things and I'm going to close. It's far good. You know, I think you say, Pastor Robert, you don't understand. You don't understand, saints. Can I tell you all something? You look at that mother right there. She has two daughters. She hasn't seen her daughters in 10, 12 years. How long? It's been at least that long. She's been here over 9 years. Because they would not obey the truth of Yahweh. They want to do their thing. So who does she choose? The daughter of the father. Look at Sister Teresa back there. Brother Jane. Look at this sister. Her daddy died. Look at her. Her daddy just died. Come on, saints. And yet they stood the test and they endured. You think these mothers don't have the mother tears at times? Huh? Daughters refuse to obey, reject Yahweh's truth. What does she do? I'd rather choose your way. Choose him. Obey him. And see, because this is a selfish generation, we never think about that. We never come. Can you imagine what that mother's heart is going through? A stepdaddy that wanted to be a father, loving man to care for the young'un. We don't think like that. Because this is a very selfish generation. We think it's us, but it's not you. I believe these scriptures right here. I want to read them for all of us. You know, brothers and sisters, I may discuss a thing with you or this one or that one. And if I discuss something with you, that doesn't mean that I'm not going to deal with the substance of those things, because there are others that may be going through the same thing you go through. And I deal with the spirit of all things. I deal with the thing that gives you the animation and the life behind it. See, if it gives you a life behind something that's wrong, then it's not right. See, our life should come from the strength of Scripture, what Scripture says. That should be our anointing. That's the truth. Although she may have tears, but what Scripture says. It tells us that the chap was hard-headed and rebellious. You take him to the elders. The drunk, the slothful thing, they stone him. You go on. You remove the evil from the house. That's what Scripture says. Hallelujah. To who she loved more, the child of Yahweh. Hallelujah. I want to read this. I want to read these few Scriptures. I'm going to close here. It says in Matthitia, listen to this, Matthew 12:50. Listen to what it says. Messiah says, For whosoever shall do the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Now that's what he said. Whosoever do the will of my Father, which is in heaven, the same is my brother. And the same is my sister. And the same is my mother. He says in the 19th chapter, verse 27, then answered Peter and said unto him, behold, this is what he said now. We have forsaken all. And follow thee. What shall we have therefore? We've left everything to follow you. What is our reward? The Messiah said unto them, verily, I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration which the Son of Man shall sit on the throne of honor, ye also shall sit upon the 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. He says this. And everyone that have forsaken houses, a brethren, a sister, a father, a mother, or wife, or children, or land, for my name's sake, shall receive an hundredfold, and that's what he means, and inherit eternal life. Where does the hundredfold come? Here. Not in the by and by, but it comes here. Then Peter began to say unto him, lo, we have left all to follow you. Messiah answered and says, I say unto you, there is no man, what a profound statement, that have left house or brother or sister or father, mother or wife or children or land for my sake and the sake of the message. He said, no man. But he, a man does that, he shall receive a hundredfold now in this time. Houses and brothers, he said he shall receive it in when? This time. He's going to receive it now. Now how? Now look at what he said. He's going to receive houses and brothers and sisters and mothers, that's plural, and children and land with now persecution and in the world to come eternal life. He means what he says. He doesn't change that. Not at all. So she forsaken all for him, then he will give her daughters and sons. But if she haven't, then she will have nothing but woes in this life. Yahweh means what he says. And it's a sad shame that we will abandon his truth for that which is wicked. I won't do it. I've never done it. As a young, ignorant man full of zeal, I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't do it. Get what they said. They said things about me, that's all right. I've always told you the words hurt, but that's all right. I get over the words. And I've come to a mature level in life now, it doesn't even bother me. Whatever they say doesn't bother me. Period. I want to see him. Oh, I want to see him and look upon his face. I'm not going into the kingdom looking for mom or dad. I'm going looking for him. That's who I want to see, brothers and sisters. And so when a man forsake all for him, now we don't even forsake ourselves. Because when we do that, then he gives us life. And abundance is the power of that life. He means what he says. See, all this is a part of this persecution. He said we'll receive that with persecution. We're going to receive that with persecution. With persecution. That's why we tell the mothers to teach the young daughters to be daughters. He means what he says. And only a mother is those that have the spirit and the anointing of the fire of Yahweh, which they are under the head of his authority. That's a mother. She births and she brings forth the birth of the light and the truth of Almighty Yahweh. And that's what mothers should always do. But it's truth. That's the truth. That is the truth. That is the truth. As you all, I say to us, is that a mother that puts her daughter out to prostitute? Is that a mother? And yet they do it every day. As is mothers of Israel, they cause their daughters to pass through the fire of Molech and Mokam. They did it because they learned the way of the heathens. They gave their sons and daughters over to the fires of hell. Is that a father, that man that raped his daughters 30 years ago? He raped his three daughters. He raped them consistently. Is that a father? Is that love when a mother or father doesn't teach their children the way and the truth of Almighty Yahweh? Yahweh never intended them to do that because he intended to break every shackle because they were never his. That's the truth. He never intended for them to teach you that because he intended to teach you because he's a father. That's what he is. And that's the truth, saints. We can't deny the truth of his word because once we do that, we deny him. And his word is everlasting. In the kingdom, his word is still going to be true. This is the same word he's going to speak to us. This is what we're going to have to live by. He's going to judge with the rod. He's going to rule with the rod of iron, scepter of righteousness. He's going to still rule. So if we don't believe in this eternal power of Almighty God with this life to come, then I would just do my own thing. But if we believe in what Scripture says, I will do what Scripture says. And I believe in what Scripture says above all things. And I won't take a back seat to anyone when it comes to that. No one. I just want brothers and sisters. Because even Messiah, as they all forsook him, they all forsook him. And the only reason they were not destroyed because they were not sons of perdition. That's the only reason. But they all went their way. They all went back to their own sins. That's what Scripture said. They didn't even know who he was when they saw him. And what he had to do, he had to open their understanding to the truth. Then he opened their understanding to the truth. He said, nah, I'm just what I said I am. What Isaiah and Ezekiel prophesied to me. and the power of Yahweh. I am. He opened to understand that he breathed on them. He said, all right now. You see the spirit. You're going to need it. And then only then, because they received it, they were able to go on to the upper room and to pray in the tabernacle 10 days for the great outpouring of the Spirit to come. If they had not received it, they would still trickle off and went on way. And that's why our minds trickle off, our hearts trickle off and go in the area, because we just don't have the Spirit. When the Spirit fills our heart, it will unite us with Him, because it's His Spirit. It's not your dad, it's not your mom, it's not Spirit of our Father. That's why we can cry, Abba. A-B-B-A, Abba Father. No other way. That's why. That's why we can't cry that. Because the spirit that's in us is not his spirit. Hallelujah. May he help us. Give us peace. I will tell you all the truth. Nothing else. And I will come from scripture too. It's not going to be based upon a theology or anything like that of man. It's going to be based upon the truth. May Yahweh bless you. Father, we thank you for all things. Bless your people. Touch each one of them. I pray in Messiah's name. Touch their hearts. Give them great strength. The brothers rest and comfort in their beds tonight. I pray in Messiah's name, we bind every spirit of darkness. We bind every power that works the binds of your people. Give them great strength and deliverance this night in Messiah's name. Yahweh bless you all. Bless you all, saints.